In keeping with the theme of grandmas for this sermon series, if you weren't here last week, you can catch that one on the website. I really loved my grandma, my mother's mom. My father's mom actually died when I was a year old, so I never knew her. But my mom's mom and I had many things in common now that I think and look back on it. Probably most obvious is that we were both very strong women. If you were to look only at her, though, at the time that I knew her, you would not necessarily have known that. From as far back as I could remember, she was mostly homebound and didn't travel much beyond her bedroom, her chair in the living room, and her chair in the kitchen. Crippled by arthritis and a mysterious breathing problem, which required her to do breathing treatments in her room at least twice a day, maybe three times, she didn't get out much around even the farm. That, however, did give her time to sit with her grandkids when we came to visit. And one summer before I arrived, she had done research about how to teach me, her left-handed granddaughter, how to crochet. I think I have mentioned before how that turned out. I am not particularly gifted with handiwork. I could make one long chain all day long. But beyond that, I am pretty close to hopeless. I think perhaps I made one pot holder, but not real even or nice looking. But that research about crocheting, she was a teacher. And she was always thinking and reading and wanting to teach others. I loved her mind. Back then, I felt like she was one of the smartest women that I knew. She was always reading and loved to read, and I always did too. As a child, she always had time to read with me every picture book in her collection. My favorites were Who Stole the Farmer's Hat? I still have that one at home. Babar Loses His Crown, and above all, Don and Donna Go to Bat. This is a little-known children's book. I can't imagine, however, why I would like a story in which the twin sister fools everyone into thinking she is the twin brother and then wins the baseball game for his team. Can you imagine why I might like a story like that? I could have read it every day, day after day. As I got older, she would save up longer fiction books to share with me when I visited the Kansas farm each summer. I think, however, the time I will most treasure is when I got old enough to talk to her about deeper literature things and spiritual things. When I got to high school and had a wonderful lit teacher, and so I would go to the farm and talk to my grandma about analyzing literature and learning from it. One summer in my late teen years, she had saved for me a few pages out of a magazine. It was the full-length version of her favorite poem. Now, I want to stop here for a moment and spotlight something. I cannot tell you how much it meant to me as a kid and a teenager that my grandma thought of me when I wasn't there. That she thought about what I might like and saved those things for me to share with me when she saw me. I felt important and loved and significant to an older person. It meant the world to me. My grandpa did those kind of things in different ways as well. Now, I don't think I ever said that to my grandparents. I didn't really know how to back then. But I drank in that attention and kindness and care. And I think kids and teenagers still do that today. They don't always know much how to say thank you. But when an adult thinks of them and says and does things that show that, I think they drink that in. Now back to the poem. My grandma shared me this long poem written in the 1800s, with very old-style language, and it's called The Hound of Heaven. And it pushed me. At first, I just didn't understand it. And frankly, I was also somewhat offended by it. But when someone I love and respect tells me that it means something to them and to their relationship to God, I give it a chance. Because maybe, just maybe, the way they see it would be helpful to me. Maybe, just maybe, they're seeing things that I'm not. Maybe I can learn from them. So the basic idea of the poem is that God is like a hunting dog chasing after his people. Yeah, you heard me right. A poem about God being like a hunting dog and hunting people down. As I mentioned, most everything about that back then just rubbed me the wrong way. So let me tell you some of the ways that it offended me. One, I am a strong, independent woman. And at age 18 or 19, I was even more stubborn and strong-willed than I think I am now, most of the time at least. My thinking went something like this. Listen, if I want to find God, then I will find God. Let me do my thing, God, and I'll let you do yours. And if at some point I want my thing to be about you, I'll let you know. Like, don't call me, I'll call you. Until then, leave me alone. And I even thought that maybe that was kind of biblical. Like, you know, God sits on his throne, God's in his temple, God is doing his God thing, and when I want to talk to God, I know where to find him. Only that is not really biblical. All the way back from Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, the Lord God came to Adam and Eve. He came walking in the garden looking for them. He didn't wait up in heaven for them to call out to him. He came to them and he called out, and they hid. But they were pursued. God pursued them. And then there's a whole lot of books in the Old Testament that we call the major and minor prophets. In fact, there's 17 of those books. 17 books of the Bible that are God's messengers to his people. I think some of us like to look at those guys who just, as them, prophets, as guys who just told people what was wrong with them. Kind of doom and gloom type people, right? We've been told that prophets are just people who tell the future. But the prophets were a whole lot more than that. At the most basic level, prophets were messengers sent from God. They came to the people God loved to give them a message. Even though God's people kept turning away from God, following other gods, doing whatever they wanted, you know, kind of like being a strong and independent or stubborn and strong-willed woman, God kept sending them messengers. Today we might say he kept sending them text messages and emails and voicemails. They were pursued. And it didn't stop there. Eventually, God came himself. He didn't sit up in heaven saying, you know, I've sent them 17 messengers. I've done my part. They should have figured it out by now. I'm just going to wait. I haven't moved. I've been where I've always been. They know where to find me. They got my number. No, the whole story of Christmas is that God didn't wait for us to come to him. He came to us. He couldn't stand the distance between us anymore, so he came. He even took on human form to connect with us, talk with us. He moved into our neighborhood. He became one of us. We were pursued. I looked it up because I don't really know a lot about hunting. It's called persistence hunting, The hunter simply continues following until the one who is being hunted tires enough to be caught. Or in the words of my grandma's favorite poem, from those strong feet that followed, followed after, but with unhurrying chase, an unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat. Now let me put that in modern English for you. We just sang about it, right? Those strong feet that followed, followed after, but chased me without being in a hurry. His pace was steady and carefully chosen. He kept following with a controlled intensity. I am pursued. I'm followed with a kind of slow and steady, unworried speed. He keeps up, always waiting for me to slow down, to finally give up or give in. And you know, even as a strong, independent woman, there's something amazing about being pursued, being wanted, about someone caring enough about me to keep following day after day, week after week, year after year, not giving up, patiently pursuing me. Maybe I'm not so offended by that after all. Maybe that's a pretty amazing thing. Jesus said it this way about himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man, the human one, came to seek and save the lost. Maybe in all my running and all my independence, all my strength, maybe I'm lost. And Jesus keeps following me until I'm ready to let myself be found. I think my strong, independent grandma knew something at age 75 that I did not understand at age 17. This God who seeks after me is not so offensive after all. But does God still pursue us today? I mean, that was Bible times, right? Well, let me tell you another story about my grandmother. She passed away while I was in college, 30 years ago now. And as my mom and her siblings were sorting through her things, my mom found a journal she had written. She had wrestled out her questions, things she was learning from Scripture, copied out things that had challenged her and encouraged her and taught her. And my mom had it typed up several years after she died and gave a copy of it to each of us children. And wow, I was comforted, I was blown away, I was challenged that my grandma, the wise and smart and independent woman, wrestled with the exact same questions that I wrestled with. That she experienced God in similar ways that I did. I was reading it, and her words gave me new life for my life. And do you know what she wrote as her first official entry to the journal? Monday, October 4th, 1982. The word of the Lord came to me, Liara Carmen, daughter of Francis and Mac Ledig, wife of David Carmen. Sound egotistical? I'm not a prophet in the sense that Isaiah and Jeremiah were, but God does speak to me as he does to every Christian who will listen. This is what he said to me this morning as I searched for direction in my life. First, pray each day as you have been doing, extending the time as the Lord allows. Take time to allow the Holy Spirit to direct as to what to pray for and how to pray. Second, and this was underlined. Trust me completely. Third, when I speak to you and reveal new truths, write it down each day if possible. God still sends messages and messengers to us today, friends. He probably has a few for you if you're willing to listen. And maybe he's sending you to be a messenger as well. Several times throughout this journal, my grandmother says, I don't know why I'm writing this down. I know why. Because God told her. And she could never know that 20 years later, her granddaughter and grandson would be reading those words and hearing the voice of the Lord. Part number two that I was offended by when I think of the Hound of Heaven. And all week, the last couple weeks, as I had been thinking about this message, this was not what the plan was for me to preach about today. All that first part, yeah, right? God pursues us. His love pursues us. What a wonderful thing. But the idea of a hunter, that God would hunt me like a hunter goes after an animal. Eric and Brittany and I love to have conversations about this because Eric is a hunter and Brittany and I are basically pacifists. So we're not really much about guns and hunting and sorts of things. I mean, I am not looking to be killed here, right? What's the goal of a hunter? To hunt after an animal and kill it. I mean, I'm wanting to live my life. Nowadays, the young people like to say, I'm wanting to live my best life, you know? I'm not wanting to be hunted down and killed. I mean, Jesus, that's a lot to ask. You know, dying, laying down my life, letting someone else kill me. Oh, guess I'm talking to Jesus, aren't I? We all want to be pursued. That part feels good. I'm wanted, I'm cared for, I'm loved. God's patient with me, and all of those things are true. But I prefer to say that when he finds me, he's just going to wrap his arms around me and love me and say, there, there, you're good. Let me just walk beside you to where you're going. I'll help you. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What can I give you? I kind of want God to be like a helpful life coach, cheering me on as I make my own way. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus, the Hound of Heaven, he pursues us. And then he says in Matthew 16, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. God is pursuing you and me and waiting for us to die. So that he can come in and give us new life. I hope that offends you and wrecks you like it is me. And before we take communion, I just want to give you a moment to sit with that. helps me to kind of write my thoughts down, my prayers down. You got section in your bulletin, you can do that. The hound of heaven pursues you. What are you going to do with that today?